Now, Wisconsin is performing above the national average when it comes to average student loan debt per borrower. We're talking about the level of debt. Wisconsin ranks 15th nationally. That's part of January's publication of Windicators from the UW-Madison Center for Community and Economic Development. Steve Deller is one of the co-authors of the report. Steve is a professor and community development specialist in UW's Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics. Steve, welcome back to the studio.
Good afternoon.
Well, give us the basics. How does Wisconsin stack up on student loan debt compared to the rest of the country?
It's a little bit below the national average in terms of the average amount of debt that's owed. We're a little bit above the national average in terms of the number of folks that actually have student debt. So in that regard, we're kind of right about where you would expect us to be, depending on which metric you use.
And before we dig deeper into the numbers, an important point is it's kind of hard to pick apart the numbers. There's not like one central source that could tell us what each American has borrowed and owes at a particular time.
That's a very, very good point. That is something that we really struggle with doing this analysis, is that a lot of times it's individual universities track it. Sometimes it is survey-based. What we ended up using is IRS data, which accounts for, because you can declare student debt on your income taxes. The problem with that is that it only counts those that itemize the reductions and actually declare it. So we're really kind of hit and miss here in terms of the quality of the data that we have.
With that in mind, can you talk about how big a burden we see? What is the range of the kind of debt people pick up here in Wisconsin?
Well, it really varies. One of the things that we discovered in doing this research is that no two students are exactly alike. And talking about broad averages, where it kind of gets some parameters around the issue, there's a real difference between, say, a first-generation student that's coming from a low-income family background that takes on $10,000 of debt is very different than a student that's completing a bachelor's degree in business that comes from a well-to-do family that has $10,000 in debt. It's like apples and oranges. So although both students have $10,000 in debt, the impact that that has on the individual is vastly different.
Right. And you also point out in the report, I think you use the number 30,000 here. If you've got a $30,000 debt and a six-figure job, that's one thing. If you are a teacher or, you know, somebody who's not making that kind of money, that $30,000 is going to hang around a lot longer.
Exactly. And that's one of the things. We're seeing a lot of anecdotal stories about how a lot of rural areas in particular are having a hard time attracting say teachers, because rural areas tend not to pay as much. And if you're a newly minted teacher with $30,000 in debt, and you're looking at a job, say, in the suburbs that will pay you, say, $60,000, as opposed to a job in a rural community that will pay you maybe $35,000, where are you going to go? And it's really starting to impact a lot of rural areas. We're seeing that in the medical profession as well.
Looking at different colleges around the state, you tried to break down trends from one kind of college, one kind of institution compared to another. What kind of things do we see?
There's a difference between the private schools and the public schools. And one of the reasons for that difference is that while the state has been cutting back on the amount of aid that is going to the university system, for example, UW-Madison, only about 14% of its total operating budget comes from the state. What the state has done is put caps on how fast tuition can increase. So when you look at UW students, for example, that's very different than looking at, say, some of the technical college students or some of the private school students, because those schools aren't operating under those tuition caps.
Talk about long-term trends in student loan debt. We hear general statements that it's gone up a lot. What do we see when we look at the numbers overall?
It is the fastest growing source of debt. It is growing at nearly more than five times the rate of growth in credit card debt and mortgage debt. It's exploding. It's the biggest source of debt growth that's been occurring over the last 15 years or so. In terms of like credit card debt and mortgage debt, it's still much, much smaller in absolute dollars, but the rate of growth is just alarming. There's been a number of folks that have kind of raised warning flags that if it continues to accelerate at this rate, if we go into a mild recession and students start defaulting on these repayments, it could be another bubble that pops. Will it be as severe as the housing bubble of 2007? No, it's not even close to that. But yet it's a bubble that's forming on the horizon.
And credit card debt can be anybody who yes. goes to college or not.
Yes.
Housing, same. But this college debt or this higher education debt is concentrated among, obviously, people who attend some form of higher education.
Exactly. And that's one of the big debates that's going on right now is this trade-off between the value of a higher education and assuming debt. The general rule is that the long-term payoff from higher education will vastly outpace any debt that you assume. But that's a long-term version. You know, that's looking 20, 30, 40 years down the road. If you're looking at trying to make your rent payment today plus your student loan payment today, you know, it's you end up with a different calculus. So if you're thinking long term, take on the student debt, get your higher education. If you're thinking, I got to pay the rent at the end of the month, that's a different type of calculus.
Now, another category difference here, it's one thing if you take on this debt, complete a degree or certification or whatever. It seems like there's another situation for people who take on debt and don't complete that degree.
Yes, that is one of the if you look at the number of students or the students that are defaulting, they tend to be the students that, say, went to a technical college or a two-year campus and did not complete the degree. So they've taken on the debt, but they don't really have anything to show for it when they enter the job market. And those students are very, very different than, say, someone who's, like I say, completed an MBA and has taken on debt to complete that. It's apples and oranges. So it's really hard to make these generalizations.
Talking to Steve Deller from UW-Madison, looking at a new report on the impact of student loan debt here in Wisconsin. We've been talking about the impact and debt load for individuals so far, Steve. Another thing you're trying to do in the report is tease out, well, how does that affect the economy as a whole? What kind of impacts do you look at?
That's what we're really kind of interested in, is how does this play out in local communities? And I've already kind of mentioned that we're seeing that there's some evidence that student debt is driving a bit of a rural brain drain, is that folks are essentially saying, I have better employment opportunities. I've got the student debt I've got to pay back. I've got better employment opportunities in urban areas than rural areas, and they're moving into those urban areas. That goes back to that, those teachers not wanting to take those jobs in rural areas. What we're finding is that there's evidence of people delaying marriage. They'll cohabitate longer. They won't take on the debt of a marriage. There's evidence of lower home ownership rates with higher student debt. That results in fiscal stress on the rental market, because if you're not buying a home, you're flooding the rental market, and that creates stress. Poor health, not so much health outcomes, because most of these tend to be young people, but we're seeing higher rates of excessive drinking, higher rates of smoking, higher rates of inadequate sleep. We're also seeing lower rates of business startups. And as we've talked about before, entrepreneurship and new business formation is vital to economic growth. And a lot of folks that are taking on student debt are not in a position to start a new business.
You don't want to take on that risk of starting a new business, which is inherently risky if you've already got this built-in debt.
Exactly. And a lot of the research suggests that the first couple of years of a business, you generally are not positive cash flowing. So even if you start a business and it's a successful business, you may not be able to really draw a good salary until year three or year four of the business.
Let's bring on a caller now. Chris joins us in Columbus. Chris, hi.
Hi. I got to say, we got to change the conversation about student debt. I'm a nurse, and I got student loans that I could buy a second home with. Debt is evil. It's not just bad. It is evil in what it does to my family and my children. I've got two kids heading off to college this year and then in 2 years, and I am preaching like a fire and brimstone preacher. Absolutely no debt ever for any reason. And if you got to take some time off of school to work to pay cash, that's how you get your education. If you can't pay cash, you can't afford it. It goes for everything. And that's what we need to be teaching these kids.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Steve?
Chris, I think you're spot on. One of the arguments that is, or one of the policies that we're recommending to local communities is that students are taking on debt and they don't really understand the financial ramifications of it. It's almost like free money being handed out. And a lot of folks, they're 18, 19, 20, they don't understand that. So I think kind of what you're doing with your children of trying to say, understand what is the ramifications of this. Don't take on student debt. Take on a part-time job. So it extends a year or two on getting your degree. Work a part-time job. Take a semester off and work if you have to. That doesn't mean that debt is bad. It just means be very strategic in how you do that. The problem is if you're 20 years old, a lot of times you don't have the experience to make those decisions. And I think that's where parents can help. I think school counselors can help. And I think the folks that are actually writing the students' loans could probably help out as well, too.
Chris, thanks a lot for that call. That's individual decision-making there. Are there policy changes, and I don't think you get into it too much in the report, are there policy changes that people are considering at least that might help lower the impact of student debt?
I think one of the things is right now the federal government has decided not to allow students to refinance their loans. And I think that that is a poor strategy or a poor policy, is that if you take out a home mortgage and say you're paying 5% interest and in 5 years the interest rate goes down to 4%, why don't you refinance? You can't do that with a lot of student debt. And I think that at a minimum is a requirement.
Speaking of rural areas, we were talking about that earlier. I know people have proposed, and I think a couple things have passed in Wisconsin for certain professions, giving some kind of student loan forgiveness for for UW grads who will go and work in a rural area where they need these professions for a period of time.
I'm seeing that in rural Wisconsin when it comes to healthcare, is that you're actually having communities that are coming in and saying that we will actually pay your student loans if you come in and work within this community for an extended period of time. There are communities are actually getting quite innovative in terms of approaching that. Whether the state is thinking about doing things like that, that's going to cost money. And given the current makeup of how we go about doing our state policies, I think anything that the state does is going to be just a Band-Aid on a hemorrhaging wound.
We'll keep watching this issue. Steve, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Steve Deller, professor and community development specialist in the UW-Madison Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics' Center for Community and Economic Development. We talked to him today about the center's January report, a Windicator report. It focuses on a significant rise in student loan debt across the U.S. and here in Wisconsin, and the effect then that that can have on the economy of the state in general. You can share your student loan story with us, for better or worse. Email ideas@WPR.org, or as always, you can tweet us. We are @CentralTimeWPR. Let us know how student loans have affected your life.